in the fourth chapter. We'd like to read together verses 35 through 41 of Mark. Mark chapter 4. And we find here in these verses where Jesus reveals His power. Now, as we read these verses together, I want you to notice two or three things. Notice the crisis. We'll see in these verses a crisis. Notice the cry. We'll see the cry of a child of God. Then I want you to notice the come. So here in verse 35, the same day when the evening was come, He said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus had been teaching in parables. As the Son of Man, He was tired. He was exhausted. And He told the disciples, "Let us pass over to the other side." When they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake Him and say unto Him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" So there's our subject in the form of a question. What manner of man is this? So as you read this, you see the crisis. Matter of fact, you see two crises. First of all, verses 35 through 37, we see the stormy sea. Jesus and His disciples encounter a fierce squall while crossing the Sea of Galilee in a boat. Then another crisis, we see the sleeping Savior in verse 38. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Now, Jesus was all God, and Jesus was all man. As all man, He got tired, He got thirsty, He got hungry, sleepy, just as you and I. But as all God, He could speak to nature and it obey His voice. Then we see the cry in 38, here, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Filled with fear, they shout to Him, "Don't you even care that we're going to drown?" You ever get that feeling a lot of times? And then we find verse 39 through 41, the calm. Verse 39, see the rebuke. He rebukes the wind and the sea, saying, "Quieten down. What manner of man is this? Could speak to nature. It obey His voice." We see the reproof in verse 40. Jesus chides the disciples for their lack of faith. And then we see in verse 41 the reaction. They were filled with awe of His power. So, as we think together on this thought, what manner of man is this? Of course, the scene of the text caused the disciples to realize that Jesus was no natural run-of-the-mill man. They saw a man with unnatural characteristics and power in Jesus. They had first feared the storm. Now they face another kind of fear. If you'll notice, they feared the storm, but now they're facing another kind of fear. This promoted the question of our subject. What manner of man is this? Beloved, we might think the same thing when we think of his unnatural conception. What manner of man is this? When we think of that, we do think of his unnatural conception. In Isaiah 7:14, we read these words: "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel." We come through the eons of time, some 700 years later than the prophet prophesying the birth of our Lord. We come to Matthew chapter 1, and we're told how Jesus was born. In verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." Here's how it happened. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 and 24, and see why. We won't take the time to do that. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us." So, what manner of man is this? His natural, unnatural conception. Critics have denied it. Critics do deny it. They say it's impossible. Critics have discredited. They have met secretly to discuss the situation. Critics have discolored it, called Mary a prostitute, Jesus an illegitimate son. When we think of the unnatural conception, what manner of man is this? Beloved, God bypassed his assigned order of conception. Why did he do it? Why did God bypass his order of conception in Jesus? Because of sin. What manner of man is this? His unnatural conception. Why was he so conceived? Well, because of sin. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We come to Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 and 5, the Lord Himself tells us through Paul, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So, because of sin, God bypassed His assigned order of conception, a man and a woman. Jesus was virgin born, just as the prophet had so prophesied some 700 years before it became a reality. God chose the Virgin Mary to send His Son into the world on a special mission because of sin, because of my sin, because of your sin, then because of His purpose, because of the purpose of God. In 2 Timothy 1:8, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So why did God bypass His assigned order of conception? Because of sin? Because of His purpose? Because of His picture of the new birth? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Do you remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in His dialogue with him relative to the new birth? In verse 7 of John 3, He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Then He begins to analogize. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how can it be? He said, you being a teacher of the Old Testament in Israel don't know these things? Marvel not. I said unto thee, you must be born from above. This is a spiritual birth. We're all here as a result of a physical birth. And I trust we're all here as a result of a spiritual birth. We've been born into the family of God by the Spirit and power of God. If you want to know about the spiritual birth, how it comes about, you read how Jesus was born. Took the power of God. Took the Spirit of God. So it is in my life. I was dead in trespasses and sin. But through the power of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I've been birthed into the family of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. So, God bypassed His assigned order of conception because of sin, because of His purpose, because of His picture of the new birth. No other human being has ever been born without an earthly father. No other earthly human being has ever been born without an earthly father. Adam was created. What manner of man is this that can breathe into the nostrils the breath of life and man becomes a living soul? What manner of man is this? Christ has the eternal Father. Every born again person has the eternal Father too. So, what manner of man is this in his unnatural conception? What manner of man is this then in his unhuman crucifixion? He was born for a purpose. We come to Luke 23, 33 and 34, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified Him. And two malefactors, the one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What manner of man is this? His unhuman crucifixion. There were three crosses on Calvary. Two thieves on each side of our Lord. None as hard to bear as the middle one. I hear him as he hangs there. Cries out, my God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? You can read that in Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34. As Jesus hung at Calvary, He cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I'm why. Even the Romans showed some mercy. Gave them vinegar and gall to deaden the pain. Broke their legs to hasten the death. They let them suffer for hours on the cross. And then the Roman soldier would come and break their legs where they couldn't do like that and breathe, and they'd die as a result of asphyxiation. So the Romans did show some mercy, but God showed no mercy on His Son until His righteous law had been satisfied. It was prophesied in Isaiah 53:11, "When I see the travail of His soul, then I'll be satisfied." God turned His back on His Son yonder on the cross, and He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Jesus satisfied the just demand of a holy God in those moments for my sin, for your sin. What manner of man is this? No other form of death so cruel and unhuman as the cross. The mental pain, the muscular strain, the respiratory disorder, His physical beating and abuse. They whipped Him with the cat of nine tails like a horse whip with lead and bone in it. Every time that old Roman soldier would pull that whip, it lacerated his back. You can read Isaiah 52:13-14, Psalms 22, and see this. Add to all this the spiritual agony. What manner of man is this? That hang at Calvary in my place. He was there where I ought to be in. He was there where you should have been. What manner of man is this then? In His undeniable resurrection. Go with me to the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, and let's read the first six verses. Matthew 28. We'll read verses 1 through 26, 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone of the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, His raiment white as snow. And for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as bed men. Those keepers were the Roman soldiers that was placed around the tomb to guard it 24 hours a day. Those big Roman soldiers became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." So, His undeniable resurrection. We see the Savior's promises of that. We see the Scripture record of that. We see that's the subject matter of the Gospel. The death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord. So let's look at the Savior's promise of His resurrection. In, I believe it's Matthew 12:40, Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So there He's talking about His resurrection. He said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'll raise it again. Talking about His resurrection. What manner of man is this? His undeniable resurrection. The Scripture record of it is given to us in the Bible. The tomb angel said, "Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. We find John's encounter at Patmos in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, I believe it is. Let's just turn there and read about it. Revelation chapter 1, John on the Isle of Patmos, talking about seeing the Lord. When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. Have the keys, the authority of heaven and of death. And is not this the subject matter of the gospel? Is this not what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4? I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. That He was buried, and on the third day He rose again, according to Scripture. Verse 4, how that Christ was buried and rose again. What about the servants of our Lord who saw Him after He was raised from the dead? Read 1 Corinthians 15:5-8. You'll see His servants saw Him. What about the socket in the earth, which was the empty tomb? Come, see the place where the Lord lay. What manner of man is this? And then, His unbelievable ascension. I've never seen Jesus with my natural eye. No man living today has done that. Only through the eye of faith. We know the last words that He spoke on earth in His post-resurrection ministry was to His church. And let's just turn and read it again. You can quote it, but let's turn and read it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. When He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing to heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see Him go into heaven. This same Jesus will come again. Man had never traveled through space before. At this time, they knew nothing of space travel at that time. Ezekiel's vision was still a mystery. You can read Ezekiel's vision in the 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. We won't take the time to go there, but that was still a mystery. They saw Jesus go up. Those disciples saw Jesus go up. It left them stunned. I don't blame them in amazement as Jesus ascended out of their sight into heaven. But the heavenly messengers came with a message. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, as you see go into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you see Him go away. What manner of man is this? He ascends yonder to the glory world. Thomas had trouble with this before it happened, didn't he? Do you remember in John 14:5? Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we know not where Thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. What manner of man is this? His unbelievable ascension. The world still has difficulty believing is ascension, beloved. But what manner of man is this? His unannounced revelation, this same Jesus, as you see go into heaven, shall so come in like manner. The second event of Christ involves two phases. His appearing and then His revelation. His appearing, He's coming for His saints in the rapture. We won't take the time to read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But there it is. That's what we're waiting for. Beloved, that's our only hope. The picture's going to get darker and darker more rapidly in this world in which you and I live. And our only hope is the coming of our Lord to consummate our salvation. It's a assured thing. I'm looking for Him to come. I'm yearning and longing for the coming of our Lord. Then He's coming in the revelation with His saints. We'll have the fulfillment of Revelation 1 and 7. Every eye shall see Him, as the Bible says. He's coming with His saints. Like we're told in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. He's coming for His saints. We're going up to meet Him in the air. We'll go before Him at the judgment seat of Christ during the tribulation period. Then we're coming back with Him. His feet's going to touch the Mount of Olives from which He ascended from some 2,000 years ago. You read Zechariah the 14th chapter and you'll find this to be true. To those not expecting Him to come, it will be quick, as a thief in the night, in an hour in which you think not. Beloved, we're living in the sundown, in the shadow of the coming of our Lord to give us a new body. Are you ready? Are you looking and yearning and longing for the coming of our Lord? What manner of man is this? Strange as His acts may seem to moralists, He is our dearest and greatest friend. He is our dearest and our greatest friend. He alone, beloved, He alone can rebuke the winds that blow your little ship off course. He alone can calm the sea that overflows your soul. What manner of man is this that can do this? I shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. What manner of man is this? His unnatural conception, His unhuman crucifixion, His undeniable resurrection, His unbelievable ascension, His unannounced revelation. He is Savior. He is Lord. He is Master. Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, in the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For Thou art with me. What manner of man is this? Thou art with me. Thy rod, Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What manner of man is this that made it possible for us to have a reservation in the glory world? Jesus died that I could live. Emmanuel means God with us. What manner of man is this? Father, thank You for the gift of faith to believe that Jesus died for my sin. According to the Scripture, that He was buried and on the third day He rose again for my justification. Thank You for the gift of hope, looking forward to the return of our blessed Redeemer to consummate our salvation. Thank you for the gift of love, the shedder brought in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, made possible because of Jesus. What manner of man is this that can speak peace to a troubled soul? Thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes it real in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we tremble because there could be those among us that do not know what we were talking about today. May the Holy Spirit open spiritual blinded eyes to the truth of salvation in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, who willingly came, suffered beyond the imagination of the mind of man, gave His life that a sinner like me could be reconciled to a holy God. And as perfect in His sight as Jesus is, thank you, Lord, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you shall yet do, in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your church you shed your precious blood for. The instructions that you give us in your Word as we travel from here to the glory world. Help us, O God, to make proper application to your Word, to our lives, that we can rejoice regardless of how dark the cloud may be. Bless those that prayer have been requested for today. You know each need. And we're so blessed and so grateful and praise you for the truth of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to your purpose. We don't understand many times, and our faith is like those disciples were when the storm came. We begin to doubt. Forgive us. Increase our faith to look to Him with assurance the victory is already won in Christ. Have your will and way in all of our hearts and lives. In your invitation, in your name I pray and ask these things. Amen and amen.